This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big, wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster.
I can't believe this is how it ended, Bachelor Nation. Welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Christine Lee with Katie Pallotta. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
And Ryan Jones. Hello, Ryan.
Still in mourning.
And he's not just a friend of the podcast. Now he's part of the podcast. It's Matt. I shouldn't say Matt from Connecticut or Matt from Meriden. I should say Matt, our Bachelorette contestant.
And informant.
Co-host on the show. And informant.
Although I've been good because I never gave anything away, right?
No, you were really good. And that's got to be very hard to do because it must be pretty easy to want to slip up. But
yeah, I got to watch everything I say, or did have to watch everything I said.
So the big finale, 3 big hours with an odd format and probably everyone's worst nightmare to have to sit next to your ex-lover while getting grilled by America's favorite investigative love reporter, Chris Harrison.
Oh God, Chris,
yeah. Right there in front of each other, as you're watching this stuff being played out in front of you, and you can see the pain and the uncomfortable look on everyone's faces. And obviously the internet didn't like it very much either, although they did in a weird kind of masochistic way.
Well, so, who doesn't like to see other people squirm around and feel awkward about something?
Well, Ryan, you broke it down really well when we were talking about it before the podcast started, where you said they had to do it like this because they were left with no alternative.
Yeah, and I think we get to this point every year and say this will be like nothing we've ever seen before, and every year, it's exactly like we've seen it before. And so when Chris let it off again by saying, oh, you've never seen something this way, I'm like, okay, sure, we haven't, Chris. But then we saw that they were intertwining the recorded show with the after show, which probably should have been an indicator right away that something didn't go according to plan. And then as we saw, it was because normally we see whoever comes out of the car first, well, wah-wah, you know, you're going home. But they were only going to have one person coming out of a car, which we obviously didn't know at the beginning of the 3 hours. So ultimately this, while it was a little weird, it was really the only way they could do it. Because otherwise, if you're just watching it start to finish how it was recorded, it takes away a lot of the drama, because at least this way we knew, okay, we're still going to get that final showdown. It just isn't, we don't have to wait until after the rose.
I like the way that they had Rachel watch it with us to see it for the first time. I wish they showed her reactions in the little box more while everything was happening. I think they only did that once or maybe twice, but I would have liked to see her reactions to each thing that happened throughout that finale. But I thought it was a cool way to intertwine her with the live audience and, you know, us watching at home.
You know what they should have done is they should have used ABC Family or whatever, Freeform, or one of their other networks to do a straight, if not just a picture-in-picture, almost a split
Rachel
screen.
Cam?
Exactly, a Rachel cam, just to see how,
that would have been
scene
so
by
for
scene,
her.
How she's reacting. I think that would have been fun.
So, Matt, Brian wins her heart in the end, and we were all shocked. The internet was shocked. But you're saying that he was really the right choice, and I think all along during this season, he was kind of built up a little bit as a player and a kind of a slimy Miami salsa kind of guy who has his girls on the set. But you're saying that the right guy won, and Peter's a little full of himself, and we saw some of his comments were kind of nasty, which he later apologized for. Go live a, what was it, mediocre life.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on last night's episode?
Starting from the end and working backwards,
yeah.
I think that the right guy did win. And the reason I say that is because I think what happens in the end is you actually see who you thought was this ultra smooth operator really just turn into a guy who from the beginning was very clear about his intentions, and that's why he was aggressive, and that's why he was always confident and forward about the way he felt. And like in the end, if he kind of tried to wiggle out of it, then it would have seemed like, oh, he was just saying all the right things to say the right things and to try to advance himself. Beginning, he said all the right things and was very smooth and very intense with her and very forward with her, I should say. And in the end, he followed through with what he claimed he was going to do, and that was, you know, win her over and then propose. So I think that everybody thought he was just saying all the right things when really he knew what he wanted and he was being very direct about it.
Well,
that's the way I feel.
It's doctor and a lawyer now if they go all the way through with it.
I think that's a great point about Brian, because even going back, I was going back through my notes, and from the very beginning it was, wow, there's this great chemistry with Brian and Rachel. For some reason, it was always just, oh, there's great chemistry, but he was very consistent throughout with why he was there. And to be fair, so was Peter. He was also very clear about, well, yeah, I want to get married and I want to, but I'm not just going to propose for the sake. So they were both very consistent, but certainly they were framed very differently. And I think if it would have ended with just the two of them going out on that, you know, castle and her just letting Peter down and then saying yes to Brian, I think the reaction would have been a little different. I mean, clearly people in general, myself included, were team Peter, but I think it got ramped up because it sort of seemed like she was almost trying to convince him, like, no, just propose, and we can talk about the semantics, but ultimately, okay, I'm going to say yes to Brian because he's the only one who's asking me to marry
him. What she said was, he said that he would do it if that would make her happy. Like, and
what
she
every
says,
woman wants to hear. Right?
And she's like, oh, great, thank
it.
You. You're going to propose to me just to make me happy when you really don't want to propose. I don't want that. Right?
Yeah.
That's basically what he was...
So, I mean, that's why I think it's a little inconsistent, because
yeah.
He's saying, I'm only going to do this once and I'm going to make sure it's right. But if I can win, then I'll do it. You know what I mean?
Happy.
To make you happy. But that does not sound like it's going to pan out for anybody. So
it sounds insincere.
It was just weird because this whole time she kept saying, well, I want a proposal. And then finally he said, fine, I'll give you the damn proposal. And then she said, well, no, that's not what I want. Well, what do you want then? He just finally said exactly what you want.
You know.
But that's every boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife argument everywhere. Like, yeah, we've all been there like, I want this. Take it. Well, I don't want it now. Yeah. I mean, we've all had that argument.
Yeah, and on that same note, I think that he was a little resistant to her. And so she was, I think, kind of intrigued by that now because he was in a way, he was playing hard to get. And I think it's just it's human nature that you're sort of like,
you want what you can't have.
I don't know. I think their chemistry is better. I think that you can see that they're, I think it just makes sense, the two of them, compared to the, you know, that's my opinion. I do give Peter credit. If he's not sure, then don't just fake it to make it. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, his whole stance the past 3 or 4 weeks or so was saying that if he didn't feel it, he wasn't going to propose. And then, like we just said, all of a sudden he's like, well, maybe tomorrow my feelings will have changed. And she's like, well, I don't want feelings to change overnight, because then what happens when you wake up the next night and like you realize that it was a mistake? Or he was so firm in saying, I believe in one proposal, one engagement, one marriage. And then she's like, well, I want that proposal.
Obviously, it is a expedited path to finding love. But, I mean, if he believes in doing it one time, then it sounds like almost deep down he knew that
she wasn't the one.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't want to come out and say it. Go all the way and just admit that your gut tells you
it
doesn't quite line up. And it seems like for Brian it does. So, in the end, I think she gets what she deserves.
A few just side notes. She looked amazing. Her clothing was on point last night.
Yeah.
What about Eric all growed up with that nice beard?
I was just
going
to say, let's talk about Eric.
This is like next Bachelor material. I mean, I just thought he just was a whole new guy. I don't know if it was just because the weight had been lifted, the pressure was off.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just was like not a total 180, but definite different vibe coming from Eric.
Yeah, I was actually... I was with him over the weekend, and he's in a good place.
What kind of place is he in?
I think you're right. I mean, I think he's learned so much from this experience. He definitely, you know, I knew from the beginning, I thought that this kid was going to, like, evolve here, come full circle, no matter which way it worked out, if he just stuck with it and didn't bow out and get, you know, sort of worn out by the whole process. So you watch him from start to finish. He had doubts along the way. But he stuck to the game plan, and he says, I'm going to, you know, see this through regardless of how it turns out. So he learned a lot about himself, and he really did fall in love. You know, I can remember talking to him when he got back from Spain, and he goes, you know, and she doubled down on that. He said when he got back that, you know, her and I have something different. We're on a different wavelength. You know, we understand each other. I was in love. It was very real. And I think she says it too. We get each other. And, you know, she had her own special bond with him and felt very strongly about him. But, you know, he went through it for the first time on TV. He fell in love. And I've said that to a few people. That's a lot for somebody to go through. And now he's come out on the other side of it. And, yeah, I would say definitely, you know, weight's been lifted. He's at peace with the whole thing. He has nothing but love for her. And I think he's ready, just like he says in the car, he's ready to see what's next for himself. But, like, I think that... you know, he's you know, definitely, you said a 180. He's a new man now. I mean, once you find love and once you learn
like
that you're capable of it, you feel
manly,
more like a man,
GQ,
you know?
Like
yeah, very GQ.
The beard suited him well.
And the suit suited him well.
He had a nice, he told me that in the end, I'm going to get myself a nice suit. And now you see it. Yeah, now that's the one. So
And we also got the announcement that Juan Pablo has found love, Katie. I know that you were raising the roof after you heard that, right?
Well, that just means that he will never come back as The Bachelor again.
What was the story there?
I didn't see that season either, but I've heard of him that he was just this notorious, infamous, horrifying nightmare. Katie?
Yeah, so basically, in Chris Harrison's words, worst Bachelor ever.
Okay.
He didn't speak the clearest English, first of all, which is completely fine. Not, you know, nothing wrong with that. But he avoided deep conversation with the girls.
Okay.
So, you know, and as you know, this show is about
deep
getting to know each other and deep conversation. So every time someone would bring up a topic or something, he would say, "It's okay." And that's it. That would be his response to everything.
But was he a jerk on top of all that? I mean, or was it just a language barrier?
I mean, it might have been a language barrier, but he didn't, he avoided all conversation. So it came off as not wanting to get to know the girls, coming off rude. But, I mean, as, like, for the live shows, he wasn't painted in the best light either, so.
And how weird was it, though, when Chris Harrison started talking about it? The audience didn't really know how to react because they said, well, is he building up to a joke here? And so then he had to finally say, he's okay. And everyone sort of, okay, yeah, this is for real.
I think Chris could have said a few jokes in there, but he definitely held back a lot.
That was weird.
That's pretty crappy.
So did they
though.
Have friction, he and Chris? Like, were they not getting
along? That's crappy, though. They cast a guy to be the bachelor who doesn't speak English very well, and then they wonder why that he doesn't translate to an American audience. Like, I think that's more on stupid ABC's fault. They should put him on Telemundo, where he would have been a huge star. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of...
Yeah, I mean,
I feel bad for him.
I agree. Like, people loved him when he was on The Bachelorette, and he was good looking. He used to be a professional soccer player.
Ooh.
Like, he had a daughter. Like, it was just, he was lovable. But when he was in the spotlight, that didn't translate, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how did you feel about having to watch a breakup live on TV and watch them watch it back? That was, I guess people are calling it a nightmare, and yet nobody could look away. Uh-huh. No one could stop looking at this nightmare.
And it goes back to what I was saying before about how when they keep building up this something you've never seen before, and it's always totally something we've seen before. This is something we've never seen before. Because usually it's either I'm deciding this isn't right, I'm going to walk you out, or you don't get a rose. It's never a full out back and forth, and they could say whatever they want about, again, it wasn't an official breakup. A breakup? What? I mean, I was so uncomfortable watching it in like the best sort of TV way.
Of course.
Like, I wasn't going to not finish watching it. I mean, it's uncomfortable as it got, but it was uncomfortable and terrible and awesome, and it's just so hard to explain.
Great television.
Yeah, it was amazing television.
I've seen a lot of Bachelor and Bachelorette breakups on finales and just regular episodes, but that is by far, that was the saddest.
And the realest.
Yeah.
And realest, yes. Because it was both ways, really. Like, they understood the stances that each other had on the situation, and we talked last week, like, they were kind of on the same page without them even knowing, but it was a mature, sad breakup. That's what it was.
It was gut-wrenching. Now, I heard that Rachel in the fantasy suites, she asked them a series of questions.
Okay.
That's what happened.
Huh.
So, I mean, did Eric tell you anything?
You know, I had, he had told me some things that went on in the fantasy suite. I mean, we didn't get into all the particulars, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not quite sure about that.
You're not gonna dish what he told
what
you.
What did you hear?
That she was asking them, like, you know, compatibility questions, like on Match.com, like the 52 compatibility questions, you know, those kinds of things, and it indicated that was all that happened.
Yeah. Oh well, she's
in which one? In Eric's, you mean?
All of them.
Oh,
in all
really?
Of them. She said last night that she went in with a full list of questions that, you know, she wanted to know, you know, background stories and, you know, and everything. And whether she was just saying that to make her sound
better.
her dad doesn't get mad.
The overlooked thing about the fantasy suites each time is the fact that this is the first time in 2 months that they're able to talk to each other with,
alone.
Truly alone. There's no mics in the ceiling. You're not wearing a mic. Like, nothing. And, like, I don't know, maybe Matt can tell you how often you guys weren't
mic'd up
around the house or anything
that. Well, I mean, in a house, you're not always mic'd up. And then even when we're in the hotels, we're not always mic'd up. But I could tell you that whenever you're around her, you're mic'd up.
Yeah. So this would, so you'd say this is the first time in 2 months that any of these guys going to the fantasy suite were able to talk to her without a microphone.
Oh, definitely.
So,
but I think the misconception too is that, you know, most of the time, you know, for, that everybody ends up hooking up in the, you know, physically in the overnights, but
fantasy
in the fantasy suites. But I don't think that that's always the case. I think more times than not, you know, people just finally get that chance to really talk and not, you know, not be cut short or have to leave the room or do something. You know what I mean? Like, right. You really get to have a thorough conversation. You probably gain more from that night, however you decide to use it. You know what I mean? You get to spend that full 8 hours as opposed to, you know, maybe an hour here or there that gets, you know, even the one-on-ones. Well, I mean, even the one-on-ones are sort of, from what I understand, because of course I never had one, but like you get cut off. No, I'm good with it. But like you get cut off, you know, and then you got to move on to the next thing and the next thing. Here you have nobody telling you what to do, and you can use it, you know, take the time and use it however you see fit. So I don't think it's always ends up physical from what I've been told. It's,
well, and I think that that's what's sort of overlooked, because whether it's Raven's whole story last time around about, you know, never having...
Oh, yeah.
And so that was the big focus. Or just in general, where our minds always go to, the fantasy suite. Well, obviously, that they're going so they can do whatever.
There was a girl last season who said that she had never had an orgasm with...
Yeah, I know Raven.
Well, her she guy, Raven. Right?
Yeah, they're like BMS.
So
now,
we were like hoping that she'd actually
right. And so those,
that
that's always where feet. Just all of us, our minds go to.
It's
just
the gutter.
It's just natural. And when you think the fan... You're not saying, let's go to the fantasy suite and have a nice conversation. But... this is the first time that you could actually ask quote-unquote boring questions about, because even she made the joke, like, oh, I'm asking about taxes and healthcare and all this stuff. But it's important stuff to know when you're potentially going to marry someone, but it's not something you, A, want to talk about with a camera in your face,
right. So
and B, makes... it'll make boring TV anyways, even if they were filming it.
You seem like the most reluctant reality star I've ever met. Like, you, and I'm wondering if you gravitate to Eric because maybe on some level he's also a little reluctant. He's not this fame whore like some contestants on many reality shows are. You know, you seem very reluctant. You're like the reluctant star.
Yeah,
you like it, but it's not going to consume you.
Well, I don't plan on this being my life from here on out. But I can tell you that when I get to meet somebody like Eric, who I really mean it when I say, from early on in the house, he and I connected, and from the beginning, he's just like, I don't know about all this. You know what I mean? But like, I'm going to give it a shot. And then as the days go by and as the weeks go on, he's a little less reluctant and he's a little more willing to, but like, I think it was one of the, while we were still in the house, one of the episodes, and he goes, I'm just not getting it back from her. You know what I mean? I'm not getting what I need to feel safe in moving forward. And again, I think I've said it on here before. It wasn't until he got his one-on-one with her and he really realized that there's something in it for me and her if I'm willing to put myself out there and lay it on the line. And then he was all in at that point. But from the beginning, I said, you know, he's not just here to...
FaceTime.
Yeah. I mean, no, he really was looking to find out about himself and learn about his ability to connect with somebody and fall in love. And that's this... You know, I don't think that it is. This is an experience overall, like one way or another. You meet all these people, and you're in this pressure pot, and you have to find a way to focus on what's important. And that's, man, I have to grow a little bit here and put myself in a place where her and I can connect, and we can really make this legitimate. And I feel like some people are there more for, you know, just to have a good time and.
Start a career.
Well, that could be there, and there are some guys like that. But like Eric, really, one way or another, his focus was love. I'm gonna find out that I can love someone because I haven't done it yet. You know?
Surprised when he was eliminated right out of the shoot on last night's episode.
Yeah, I would say because I think you know, like even he said when he got back. He said it was so real. The wavelength that they were on. It was they had an intense bond with one another, and I think he was convinced that you know what her and I have, even though it took a while to dial it in, it's on another level than everybody else. So he was very confident that he was going to move forward from there.
I mean, I wonder what would have happened if she had kept Eric and dumped Peter. And it had been between Eric and Brian. I mean, would the outcome still have been the same? Brian, all the way? I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think when Eric left, I thought, you know, he was a class act. And, yeah. You know, there was no... I mean, it's tough. You're the top three and you're being sent home and you think that you might actually have the chance to be, you know, the last one standing. But... You know, he didn't show any bitterness or I thought it was just a classy exit.
No, because it's all positive with him all the time. You know, he's like an uplifting, very almost, you know, he tries to like gauge where your head's at, where your heart's at, like how you're doing. And, you know, whenever a little bit reluctant with this whole thing, too, and whenever it started to play on TV. And, you know, I had some issues, like Eric would always say, what's going on? Like, what's the matter? Talk to me, you know? And we would talk each other through it. And that's, I think that's very much what he did for her throughout this, you know, 2 months worth of it. You know, she connected with him because when they got together, he would right away make it about her. Like, where's your head at? Where's your heart at? You know, tell me how you feel and any concerns that you have and any doubts, just verbalize them with me. And that's somebody that's rare to have around. I feel like other people are very much, you know, make it about them and how intense this thing is for them. And Eric was very much right away make it about the other person that he was talking to. And I think that's why he went as far with her, and you know, maybe he should have been allowed to stick around and even go further.
Well, maybe he will go further coming up. You know, who knows what his future is?
I could see it.
But Rachel had to figure out, you know, who was going to be the one, and so there were two more dates. We had Brian went first, and it was a hot air balloon. I mean, nothing says love like. You know, a wicker basket floating 1,000 feet above the air. but you know, he tried to, and I think he did a good job of making his, I guess, for lack of a better word, case for himself and for them together as a couple.
Yeah, he had given her like a homemade Spanish dictionary with, you know, all love terms and everything. And the real thing that the real only thing I feel like they showed with that date was him saying that I can't envision her not picking me and I would be so heartbroken and devastated. And I just can't see that is even an option right now, which showed his confidence there, I think. But they didn't spend a whole lot of time, camera time, on that date.
No, because then Peter took her to a church.
Yeah, which anytime I think romance, I think, let's go to a monastery.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't get all worked up by monks?
Well, they do make some good champagne, so, you know.
And they obviously needed the time because ultimately we were going to spend, I mean, a half hour or more just on them having the back and forth in the hotel room because they had the first time around and then she went back for more and that's when we saw the ultimate breakup. So it was, I guess with Brian, it's like, well, there's nothing really to see here. It's all good. Everyone's happy. He's afraid of heights, but happy to go in a hot air balloon. Like, hey, I'm with you. A-okay. And there was clearly more to sort of flesh out because even the rose ceremony and where I thought Eric might have been a little frustrated. And again, he didn't show it, and that's certainly a nod to him. But she basically got up there and gave a speech against Peter, saying, yeah. I'm here for people who want to get engaged, and I'm here to be engaged. oh, by the way, Peter, here's your rose. And so that would have, if that were me and I were Eric, I probably wouldn't have been quite as forgiving on the way out.
On the way out, I thought he killed it.
He was so classy.
It was just like from everything that came out of his mouth to his body language, I couldn't have been prouder of him. And, you know, it just speaks to the kind of guy he is. But, again, I feel like if you look at it, all A, B, and C, like, Brian very much makes it about Rachel. Eric, my experience with him is either making it about Rachel or whoever else is in the room at the time. It's
and
never
Peter.
About Eric. And I just feel like with Peter, at times, it's about Peter. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
And that's so, I don't know. Can you speak to that at all?
I mean, because I feel like you kind of alluded to it the last time you were here. I felt like you were tiptoeing around it. You were trying to be very careful with what you said. And I think Ryan asked you to describe the remaining three guys in one word. And you called Peter intense, right? And that really came out in last night's episode, that he is
not a bad guy, you know.
And there's nothing wrong with intensity.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's just
a fitness freak, and you have to be intense to be that physically fit, like no toxins, no nothing, like just he's intense.
But I don't know about you guys, but I see her with Eric, and I see you know with the two of them, with Eric, and now with Brian, I see they smile so much, and they were laughing, and there's a. You know, there's a shared sense of humor and
but
like
I
a very light.
I never saw that the whole season until last night. Like, I saw her having that with Eric, and I saw her having, like, she would jump up and run into Peter's arms, and I just saw this huge, like, sexual attraction. And then all of a sudden, last night, everything, like, screeched full stop, and it was a totally different Peter. Like, I don't know.
Because when it gets down to crunch time, not everybody is as sure what they want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I was
You know, their real colors, you know, your true colors kind of, you know, you get stifled a little bit. And I think he admits that when he says, what's wrong with me? You know, like I thought I had it and then I panicked, which, you know, didn't shock me because I was around for a lot of it. And, you know, I had my doubts with him. And I just never saw Brian, you know,
panic,
or it was always consistent with him. You know what I mean? And it was the confidence was always there, and he never doubted himself. He never doubted what they had, and you know, maybe in some of the playback that comes across to people like, you know, he's cocky. Or he's too smooth for his own good. But I just think you see a guy who knows exactly what he wants. You know, he's a little older, and he's just ready to do it. You know, and he doesn't
he's
have
a professional.
Any doubts.
Professional. You know,
yeah, I mean, it's time for him, and that's why I couldn't be happier for
him.
So
they were the guys that were getting ready to jump out of an airplane, and go, Eric jumps. Go, Brian jumps.
Yeah.
Go, Peter's like, I'm just going to go away.
Yeah.
Right,
see,
here.
I'll say this, though, because part of their back and forth with Rachel and Peter, she said, I want someone that knows what they want to do,
mm-hmm.
which is a totally fair thing to say. But my argument would be, he knows exactly what he wants to do.
And it's not with her.
No, that's not true. He wanted to do it with her. He just didn't want to get engaged right there after 2 months.
He wanted to be with her. He would have.
I mean,
jumped.
I know you're. You know, the only other train of thought out there. Well, I don't know.
Do it.
But I mean, no. But like, you say he knows exactly what he wanted to do, right? Okay, but how do you know? You know, he doesn't think that a future for him could be maybe The Bachelor. You know what I mean? Maybe
yes.
I thought that was the right exit to take. You
yeah,
know what
well,
I mean?
No, that's fair. And I think after all this, I think they'd be silly to take anyone else. I'm sorry.
And it makes sense. To me, it makes sense because now you see a guy who's like, what's wrong with me? Well, let's spend 9 weeks trying
analyzing
to figure it out
that.
And see if anybody can overcome what it is or change.
It goes back to the Ben, you know, Ben Higgins said, you know, I'm unlovable and all this. It gives you this launching pad. Plus, if you're watching basically this break Twitter and social media as a whole, I mean, girls, and obviously in this case, some guys, are like holding Peter up as if, oh my God, can we just start The Bachelor tomorrow?
Well, what I was going to ask you guys next was, why is the internet, and the internet is a person, why is the internet so ripped up over this? I mean, literally, across all social media platforms, it's nuts. Like, what? Even Patty Stanger, the millionaire matchmaker who had Daniel and Vinny and Ashley I on her show, like, she weighed in and said, you know, Rachel, don't worry about it. You made the right choice. And Rachel's like, thank you. Finally, one person comes to my defense. Everyone else is so upset.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, too, I'll speak to the women in the room. Like, it's fun to like pursue somebody who isn't quite sure what they want, but you know, and to play that game for a little while. Yeah, there's some push and some pull, and you know, that can keep somebody hanging around. But at the end of the day, when you see the two of them standing there, isn't the more attractive guy and the one that you really want to be with, like he said, the one who's sure about what he wants to move forward, you know, is ready to do it tomorrow.
Who are you referring to?
I'm saying with Ryan, you know? Like, in the end, I think that's more attractive, right?
But the internet thought that Peter was that guy. Like, they're upset that Peter wasn't that guy.
Wanted him to be, but
yes.
He wasn't.
And because
you can't make somebody something that they're not.
The way it all played out, it sure made it seem like Rachel just picked the person that was going to propose to her. And whether, obviously, we can dissect that a million times over, and Rachel clearly will say that's not the case, and Brian will say that's not the case, but the way it looked was that she was putting the hard press on to try to get Peter to say, I'm going to propose, without having to say, I don't want to, but I'll do it for you. Basically, she wanted him to say, I'm going to propose, I want to propose, and that's who she wanted to say yes to. And ultimately, it looked, watching it on TV, like she only, because at that point there was no other options.
Oh,
once they broke up, I'm just saying, like, that's how it looked.
Yeah.
And so if you're watching this on TV, you're saying, well, what the hell? Clearly she just wanted the ring. And that's a girl, you know, a woman who's had this incredible 2-year run or 2-season run. All of a sudden, everybody just was shown this very different perspective, and I think that sort of blew up in her face.
And a lot of women, Katie, like, you would think, wouldn't you want the guy who wants to be with you and you want to be with him, and if you have to wait for a ring, you're okay with that, versus just taking the guy who says, I'll ask you to marry me? Like, that's the way I got that exact same impression.
Yeah, I mean, I did too. I thought that, I mean, throughout the whole season, and I think everyone, you know, on Twitter and articles, and everyone just assumed that it was going to be Rachel and Peter, and that's how it was going to end up. And you saw previews of them having this hard time, and that's what ABC does every single season, is they show the person with the most doubt end up winning, because that they like to try to steer you in the wrong way. But in this case,
they fooled us.
They tricked us, and it wasn't, you know, they didn't come back from that, you know, whole few hours of talking about doubt and not being ready to be engaged and having a proposal and eventually getting married.
And I don't think she helped herself. Now, obviously, this is the part of it being live, and she's not going through her Twitter feed necessarily seeing, like, oh, this is... But I don't think she helped herself on the couch with Peter, because obviously there was a lot of tension there.
Emotion.
There was a lot of emotion, and he did apologize for the mediocre life comment, but she was quick to fire off the, well, I'm living my best life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple people, the word I found was she was a little salty there. And if you're living your best life, are you throwing those kind of lines out there? And again, maybe you are, but it just... The optics of it were not great for her.
Yeah, but that stings. That stings. When someone says something like that to you, like, there are certain things that people have said to all of us in our lives that 20 years later we still remember, and we think, if I ever run into that person again, I have the perfect comeback. Even if it's family, like, you know, uncles and grandmas who think they can say whatever the hell they want to say to you. And, you know, I think that was like a tough, that was... God, go live your mediocre life? Like, that would kill me.
Well, that's, see,
That was tough.
I would definitely want to zing him back.
In the end, you guys all said, like, you have one guy who's coming across at the very end of their interaction with one another, a little salty, and then you have another one who's still consistent with what he wants to do. So, yeah. Like, when you look at the optics of it, you're sort of, you know, turned off by one and that much more turned on by the other in the end, because this guy, he's just, you know, been the same way ever since the beginning.
He wants to be with her, and Peter clearly is on the fence, or maybe doesn't want to be with her, and so she finally got the message.
Yeah, but I mean, through her eyes, you know, in those last couple minutes with each of them.
Yeah.
What would turn you? You know, what would you be turned on to, and what would you be turned off to?
But it goes back to what Ryan was saying, or you said it too. Like, you want what you can't have, and all along she was. I felt like she was pining for Peter. Like, I really felt like she was.
But in the end, you can only wait so long, and then you're just like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Right. I just felt like this was all semantics from, you know, a month ago when this all started to come up, right through even when they're sitting on the couch.
Yeah, he told you what he was going to do.
Yeah, like they kept going back and forth about, well, you weren't ready to propose, and maybe there's regret here, and maybe that. But it ultimately, it seemed like they both wanted the same thing, because then, and again, because two seasons, Rachel was like batting 1,000, and I just think that this whole last 45 minutes, because then she says, she's sitting there with Brian saying, like, well, we're going to take our time. Are you kidding me? All you're talking about is now. And then you're saying, well, we're going to take our time?
She wanted the proposal now. She can take her time.
But that's what I'm saying. That's
semantics.
That's where the semantics come in, because if you're going to take your time, they're saying the same thing. Peter's saying, let's take our time and then we'll get engaged. She's saying, let's get engaged and take our time. So ultimately, they were saying the same thing. And this isn't a negative. None of this is a negative on Brian.
This is all pro-Peter, though.
It's mostly pro-Peter.
But Matt's saying that Brian is the better guy, the nicer, and it didn't come across on television.
No, because it wasn't the focus.
Right.
Like, and he didn't, Brian, because he was so consistent start to finish,
right.
Like, I actually think he's the one at the end, other than, you know, forget Peter, forget Rachel. I think he's the one that comes out looking the best throughout this, because nothing changed. Like, yeah. he was all in the whole time, but that gets pushed to the side because of A, the breakup, and then B, the very tension-filled talk they had afterwards.
Yeah, with him sitting right there.
I think the focus that ABC was going for was the Peter versus Rachel. And I think that if Brian got more, if they had more conversation, FaceTime or camera time, I feel like we would have seen more of Brian's, not good side, because he didn't really ever show a bad side, but we would have seen more interaction with Brian and Rachel. But I think the route that the producers went was like, it's all going to be, you know, Peter's issue versus Rachel's issue. And that kind of pushed Brian to the side a little bit. So, but I know where you're coming from. Like, I kind of wish that we did see Brian a little bit more and got to see, you know, how they interacted more.
Well, we're going to now find out about her mother-in-law-to-be. Because don't forget, Brian's mom. We get to see how that works out. And you had a premonition. It was weird because you said, you know, August, whatever, Wednesday the 9th, Rachel and now Brian are going to be here in Connecticut where we are at Mohegan Sun. Mm-hmm. And Ryan had said, it's really weird because if it's Peter, he has this boot camp scheduled for Saturday?
Saturday, yeah.
And he said the logistics of course, it could be done. I mean, we live in an age of planes and transportation. But he
just with all the press that you have to do, like, that's kind of an odd thing that, you know, less than a week after the finale, you're hosting this massive.
So deep down,
massive,
you knew Peter wasn't going to win.
Well, it's funny. That's the first time that that I started to question it. And for anybody that's listening, you know, obviously there are a lot of shows like this out there, but if you're listening to one and there's, you know, the whole time where, oh, it's going to be Brian, then I think, you know, they weren't going through this spoiler-free. I mean, you know, all of us avoided any of the things that are out there. Because, if you go to the Google, you can find out a lot of things. And if you go by just the last couple episodes of us talking here, ain't none of us seen this coming. So there
Well, it's good that you guys don't read a lot of those spoilers and stuff.
Yeah, because it's not... Besides the fact
that it takes the fun out of it.
That's
the way I see it.
It's impossible for us to talk about it if you know what's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, and that's, God bless you.
Some of them are
to be
wrong,
able to,
though.
Matt,
yeah.
to come in here and know how it's going to end and still be able to sort of look at things with, you know, clear glasses on, I think is very impressive because I don't know that I could do it.
Yeah. Have you considered a career in the CIA? You can keep a secret.
Oh, see, I knew something.
We have
good
a field office in the FBI here in Connecticut.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Katie because you picked Brian in your fantasy team. And so this bitch wins it again. So, you know, I think you should have like a handicap next time around where you don't get to pick until like 4 or 5 picks in. It's really unfair.
I didn't think that I was going to win, so.
And maybe that's the real source of my pro Peter stance because he was the last guy I had for a long time and I finally thought I was going to get a win. And then, not so much.
Yeah, for a long time, you only had Peter.
Yeah. So that could be the reason for it.
Next season.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah. But Neil Lane, we forgot. Neil Lane comes out.
His shortest appearance ever.
Ever. And
no, so sad.
He looks like
when
a
he comes out.
Gnome. But yeah.
He literally he said, "Hey Neil, all right. Oh, I like
I'll
this one.
This
okay,
one.
See you guys next season. That
Pure
was it.
Shape, that's good.
It was the shortest amount of screen time he's ever had in any of these.
Well,
seasons.
He's sick of it. Let's be honest.
Well, and there was only one ring to one person to talk to. Usually
right.
he's got.
He didn't get right. to meet, you know, okay. two
and on
guys.
Bachelor in Paradise, depending on how many people decide to get engaged or want to get engaged or think about getting engaged, he'll have multiple sittings. He only had the one, and again.
Got
even
no,
something
got
this,
like
got a feeling you're gonna see very
seconds.
Little of him this whole year.
Yeah, and even this version of Neil was so short. I think is another sign of we really didn't focus much on Brian because it was all positive.
Yeah.
Like, why even bother? Okay, he's gonna pick out a ring. Cool. Like just like everything else, it was sort of brushed over because. Again, it was all thumbs up. It was all, everything's great.
But his proposal was very sweet in Spain. He asked her to be his queen in Spanish and, you know.
A little windy.
It was a little windy. Yes.
Sound engineer's nightmare. You get up there and all you hear is.
Yeah, will you be my reina? You couldn't understand.
They both gave these beautiful speeches and all you heard was.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But it was a sweet proposal, you know, and a fitting end, I guess. And off they go. And what are you
and then
laughing
he,
about?
Then he proposed again.
Right.
Yeah, he doubled down.
He doubled down.
Because he's serious.
And he's been all in from the beginning. I mean, and that's the one thing I think all of us
listen,
agree
I'm not knocking.
On.
Honestly, I'm not knocking Peter like... This, you know.
Yes, you are. You
can, no, I'm not.
Listen,
because honestly, I've been him. To be honest, I've been him more than I've been the guy who knows exactly what he wants. So I kind of, to me, I want to, if it takes, you know, a couple, few more years, I want to be where Brian's at. I want to just, know exactly what I want. That's what I'm aiming for. But I've been Peter more times than not, and it costs you in the end. If you
trust your gut,
if you don't know what you want, a lot of times a woman is going to say, "Well, I do." So, you know, sorry, but I'm going to move on, and you end up missing out on a great opportunity. He knows he missed out on a great opportunity, but on top of that, I give him credit for not just pretending. And then, if they did end up together, after the fact, break her heart. So at least, as much of a struggle as it was. You know, it's apparent. It's pretty apparent for him to watch her go. He still, in a way, did the right thing. If he wasn't sure about it, you have to let somebody go and find what it is that they're really looking for.
Yeah.
And so you got to give him got to give him some credit for that. But
yeah, I've turned on Peter completely.
Well, here's the thing with the way this was trending was no matter how whether she picked Peter or Eric or Brian. Rachel was definitely going to be a number one in the Bachelor universe, if you will. And I'm not saying that isn't going to happen. And it'll be curious. Obviously, we all hope that they live happily ever after and they have beautiful babies and all that. Whether that happens or not, I wonder if this changes that trajectory. Forget their future, but just how things broke, because this season will obviously be more remembered for this very dramatic breakup. And
Chris Harrison's questioning of them on the couch, do you wish you had handled that differently? Do you still love her? Do you, you know?
Yeah, and so I wonder if this has damaged the... And not that I think
franchise?
She cares. Not the franchise, but her Bachelor brand. Because so many of these people, you still see Bachelor and Bachelorettes very in the world and very influential. I don't know. I don't know if this. I saw her as being the queen / king. I mean, bigger than everyone. I don't know if this.
Yeah, but on
this
the other hands,
the brand.
On the other hand, I think I kind of like that term, so I'll use it again. That double down. She started out as somebody who wanted to get married, and like
she got what she wanted.
Yeah, but I mean, the other thing is maybe she didn't. You know, like even she would say to me, you know, you remind me of yourself. Why? Well, because you're just somebody who's trying to figure themselves out and wants to end up happy one day. You know, and that's what she was looking to do. Maybe she doesn't want to be like the Bachelor Queen forever. You know, maybe she just wants to like go now lead pretty regular
life.
You know, I'm sure she's going to do great things, and she's going to, you know, she's a star. That's what she's built for. But like, you know, maybe her takeaway from The Bachelor won't be just let's move forward with all the fame that I've gained from it. Instead, let me just take this great relationship and take the next steps with it. You know, so like maybe her purpose isn't to be.
Although,
you know,
I will say, did you notice when Chris was asking about future plans, where they may live, because he was thinking, well, oh, it's just going to be Dallas or Miami. They threw LA in there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that you choose to, coming off a reality show, to up and move to LA if that isn't part of the plan.
If you want to be under the radar.
You've been to LA.
Oh, I've been to LA. And I'm not on TV, though. You know, like, if you've been.
California's beautiful.
I would move there tomorrow. But I think if you're coming off a reality show,
it's not a coincidence.
Do you move to LA if you don't want the spotlight? I don't know.
Yeah, no, not LA. Definitely not LA.
I could see her on Dancing with the Stars. She'd
Carmel
crush it. I mean,
Monterey.
She showed she's, and so did Peter. Actually, I'd put them both on Dancing with the Stars if it were me, because they both got rhythm. And they're
Peter's got rhythm?
No, I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Brian.
I was gonna say, well, now
yeah.
It's there's proof in that pudding,
because
you
now it's getting a little too much.
Yeah, now we're trying too hard.
I would
hard,
put the couple on. I would put Brian and Rachel both on different teams on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Because they both have rhythm and easy. They're both great on camera, and I think it's also a way to make sure
it'd be fun.
Yeah. Because when Nick went on, I don't know if that is part of the strain with their relationship. This way they still get to stay together, and I think it'd be fun.
I'd like to see a nice crossover to CBS where all the cast-offs, yourself included, have to go live in the Big Brother house.
Oh.
I think that would
so
be
you
fantastic.
You want this hybrid reality.
I do. I want this
that'd
hybrid
awesome.
Showman's nightmare living in the Big Brother house. That would just make me so happy. But
the best of both worlds.
The best of both.
I would think that if you could combine Paradise with Big Brother,
oh
it would
my
be
God.
Maybe throw some Survivor in there.
My head would explode.
Freaking Paradise.
Maybe that will be Winter Games.
But there you go.
It sounds like it's could trending be. Like something like. Do you know anything about Winter Games?
I've heard a little bit more about it. I've heard it having more to do with like couples and, you know, like being a working as a team to do whatever these games are going to play whatever these games
like
are going to be.
Survivor. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean there's definitely going to be some sort of
obstacle course.
Yeah, or some, you know, it's a strategic competitive thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's definitely their competition show, I think.
So you think they're only going to accept Bachelor couples?
I don't know. No. I think if you're not tied to anyone,
okay,
you can be on
say,
there too.
Then you might need to start dialing that
phone.
No.
I don't think that's a must.
Yeah.
But.
And what is it that you did with Raven?
That I did with Raven?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Because we mentioned
that's
Raven.
Well, I know Raven.
Kind of
I know
glossed
Raven.
Over it a little bit.
Paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
so
I know.
What,
I met her in Mexico.
How well did you meet her?
No, I didn't. No, we're friends. We're just friends.
Come
friends.
On.
No, we really are. I'm just
if you saw the Bachelor in Paradise
Sneak peek.
Sneak peek.
If you will.
We got a sneak peek of our buddy Matt doing some very interesting things.
You know, good thing for me is that's as risque as it's going to get, I think.
They use all of your stuff just in the tease.
That's it. I mean, you've gotten your... That's the best and worst of me right there.
So at least you can watch knowing that, there's nothing. You've already seen the worst of it.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen a couple episodes and, you know, I cringe for about maybe 5 to 10 seconds. But, you know, that hot tub is my... That's the extent of it for me, I think.
And you now, think? I don't remember.
As far as I know, it's about as bad as it gets. Huh. But
are you excited to watch it back? I mean, we're only a week
away. I've
seen
the first two episodes. It wasn't easy because, you know, I didn't know how Paradise works. And so now to just go to Mexico.
Did they hand out condoms?
No.
No condoms?
I'm sure there were somewhere, but I never needed them.
Uh-huh.
So. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I mean, what an experience that was. It's a bit of a blur at this point. But
because you were intoxicated?
No, I don't mean that. It's more so having been there at the beginning, then the shutdown, then go back again.
With the Quran and
it was all
tomorrow.
Very chopped up and just, you know, just, I don't know, when I look back, it's like, when did it start and when did it end? Because, you know, it felt like it was over, then we went home for a while, then we go back again, so.
Did you end up going back out to L.A. like you were saying last time you were here? They wanted you to come back out?
Yeah, I just did. And? I did some more stuff with Paradise.
So once they have their hooks in you, they're never going to let you go. You know this, right? You're beholden to ABC for the rest. You're an indentured servant.
Don't say the rest of my life.
For the rest of your life.
That's it.
A little while, but not for the rest of my life.
So when they do the senior bachelor, you are going to be on that. It's going to be Bachelor in Paradise.
You know how many people I have
living.
Coming to me like, you know, we got to get one for like middle-aged people in their 50s, and then...
No, nobody wants
then,
to see that.
Yeah, right, but then...
Please, no.
You know, then... Yeah, I've had that happen more times than not. And then, like, even older women, we got to get one for senior citizens, you know?
Older women like me older or like 80s?
No, I mean, I've had even older women. When I say middle-aged, I mean like 50, 60, and then I've had even cute old ladies say... I gotta get
that
one for us older women.
Just this morning, we had a suggestion.
Everybody wants in
of twins.
Right?
Why don't they do twins? Find someone for each of the twins. But
there's so many spinoff possibilities.
There's so many spinoffs.
Are the twins were in Paradise, right?
I think
Haley
I didn't.
And Emily?
Not when I was there, but I'm pretty
because,
sure.
Because yeah, that would
in
be
later
fun.
On.
Because that would be fun to have
them as the principal stars.
Yeah, a bunch of, you know, 20 whatever guys competing for two
guys.
Different girls.
Oh. Yeah, those twins have a reputation like they people the twins, that's all I heard about, and then I never got a chance to meet them. But that's what I mean. Like some people were in Mexico for like, you know, a few days and then left. So I mean, for it was a blur. It was because usually you're there for almost a month. And I think the whole thing was cut in half at the end of the day. The amount of filming was like half of what it, you know, they typically do for this show.
Look, before you leave, I just want to say, like, we mentioned Haley and Emily, and they have this whole shtick where they act like dumb airheads, where they don't know where certain states are in the country, and I don't know if it's all an act or whatever.
I don't really know.
But you, like, you're not really expecting to meet someone of substance as on one of these shows, right?
Well, I mean, Paradise or The
yes!
Bachelorette? I felt The Bachelorette was...
No, Paradise.
Oh, Paradise?
Come on.
No, I mean...
Everyone's there for a good time.
It is a good time, but, you know, it's got a track record of some people...
Yeah, it does.
...ending up with each other. I mean, you know...
Ryan and I just... Speaking of...
I mean, you can... In a typical, like, Paradise setting, you're there on an island for a month spending all this time with somebody. I think it's possible that if you're with somebody every day for a month... You could start to fall for them.
Maybe have a baby with them.
So I mean,
so the
alternative is like if you go out, you know, 2-3 times a week with somebody over the course of a month. Here you're with them every day.
Look, I'm no one to talk. I met my husband in a bar. So I mean,
well, it's like, this is like going on a singles vacation. You know, you're.
I mean, no, I mean, what my two of my friends from this abbreviated stint in Paradise are still together to this day, and they're very happy.
Who?
I can't tell you who, but you got to watch
the
show. No, like, I'm not here defending it. For me, it was like, it was fun. I went on a couple dates.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Like I said, I did not come away with, you know, anything besides, you know, multiple hangovers. but like, you know, and really a fast from tacos and any sort of Mexican food for the next few months, because we ate so many quesadillas and tacos and every quesadillas and what was the other big thing? Fish tacos.
But more importantly.
But more importantly, the...
You have a metabolism that allows you not to... If I had eaten all crap, it would have been the end of the...
But I have two friends. I have two friends who I was with in L.A. over the weekend. And they're very, very smitten, at the very least, if not in love with one another.
Just tell them not to get tattoos.
And that was... And you know, they spent a total of, probably not even a few weeks together. And... It was pretty apparent. Like, you see them together and it's real and they're happy, and you know, they were with each other every day in a, you know, on a beach.
It's fun to watch.
You know, so like it can happen. I think, you know.
We've seen it.
I mean,
we've watched it happen, and we were sort of joking about, you know, have a kid and all this, but I mean, Carly and Evan, the most unlikely paradise couple ever.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's rare, but it's possible.
We've seen it. Possible. And I, you know, that's why we watch these shows, not just so we can scream and yell about them, but
so we can escape our own reality too a little bit. But
you know, is it sort of an extended spring break or like a
yes,
you know.
When the Washington Post puts it on the front page of their newspaper, you know, the whole democracy dies in darkness, covering all things political, and on the front page is what happened last night with Rachel on The Bachelorette. It shows you that all walks of life, everyone everywhere, just loves a little escapism, and to see someone come out the other end happy and engaged, and it's a love story, and off they go into the sunset, and we'll wait for Bachelor in Paradise to come around. What, you said in a week?
Yeah, I mean, it kicks right back in. And so, we're obviously going to see you on Bachelor in Paradise. We hope you have had a lot of fun. But after seeing, you know, obviously living in the house and then going to Bachelor in Paradise, next Bachelor is?
Don't know.
No, I know that. Who do you think?
I think? I would say at this point it's probably Peter. Right?
I'm done with Peter.
Katie? I think, again, like I said last time, I think it'd be a great time watching Dean or even Eric. I don't, you know, but I think that, I don't know, logic points to Peter at this point.
And obviously, there's always clearly love. I agree, but between Dean or...
Well, you would love it.
Yeah, obviously.
It'd be the best time of your life.
Dean or Eric, who do you think would ultimately be the better Bachelor if it came down to one of them? I know you know them both very well.
Yeah, I'd be torn with that.
Why don't you throw your hat in the ring? You're not doing anything.
Well.
Come on. You're going to train for the FBI, then you can do this.
No, I'll let my buddies
do it. Dean or Eric, come on.
I would say, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm split right down the middle on that. And that's not just because I love both of them. It's really because I think that, I don't know.
I think Good Eric question. Would be better between the two of them. I just think that, especially after seeing him on the after show and how
dapper.
He just seemed more ready. Obviously, Dean, we still had the giggling issue. I think Eric was I'm ready.
Eric's 30. Eric's 30. Not to say that age is always the indicator, but
Dean's a little younger. I think that's
I don't know if he's game for it at this point in his life. You know.
They could do another Britt and Caitlin, and they had this season where they had two bachelorettes.
Oh, man.
And then you got out of the limo, and you had to choose one to say hi to, and then whoever had the most interest became the bachelorette.
It's like the Hunger
Caitlin.
Games, only nobody
that's gonna happen, right?
So what do you, ladies, who do you think our next bachelor, who is it?
I think Chris Harrison gave us a little indicator when he said that maybe they'll be revealed on Bachelor in Paradise. I don't think anyone's knocked their socks off, although when Eric came on last night, he did look like just off the pages of GQ.
Yeah.
He
looks like a cover model for sure.
Yeah, he
like
definitely
he's
has
ready.
Taken the lead for now, but I think they're going to be revealed coming up.
Yeah, you got to find out about it soon, because I'm pretty sure they start filming, like, you know, in a matter of
Yeah.
Because I think they finish around Thanksgiving. So
yeah, no, I think I'm pretty prior, sure so it's going to be soon. Is when they start.
I mean, Katie's our expert. Who's going to be the next Bachelor?
We haven't
Without seeing
yet.
Bachelor in Paradise, obviously, but...
I think at this point, I think Peter has a good shot.
The leg up.
Yeah. I mean, apart from last night, he still has a lot of fans out there and a lot of girls and ladies that would watch him.
So. And guys.
And guys. Ryan. Well, I guess...
I'm starting the fan club this afternoon.
Well, that's another whole season come to an end. Matt, thank you so much for enhancing
our... I enjoyed our time together.
Our little...
Hopefully it doesn't
podcast.
End here.
I know, right? We'll see you
Thanks
again.
For having me, guys. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Bachelor Podcast. Find us online at Bachelor Podcast. Katie, Ryan, I'm Christine. We'll see you in paradise.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that could help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.